Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. Very trade-heavy episode of JBT on this week as we discuss the future of Carmelo Anthony and Kemba Walker. Are the Bulls ruining their tanking efforts with their recent run of good form? We'll be discussing the growth of Oladipo and whether he is a better player than Westbrook. And we'll change things up a little bit this week where we'll throw an off-topic to you, where Jack and I will discuss 2017's best movies. Not to mention JB Team and Rookie Watch. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world, be it on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and I witnessed my girlfriend spend $115 at a pet store today. Yes, your speechless tones are very warranted. Assortment of food and toys and treats. You know, in her defense, pet paraphernalia, I love that word, by the way.
That is a quality word. It's a solid word. I think you're going to call the podcast
That is it's weird. It's, you don't often get the title of the podcast in the first 2 minutes, but we've done it. now I just need to find out how to spell paraphernalia. that'd be a difficult one, but it is extremely expensive, man. Like, there's things called Kongs, and it's like rubber, just like a rubber cone that you put treats in it, and dogs try to like chew on the cone to try and get the treats out. So like it occupies them for quite a while. They're like, you know, the big ones are $50 for a rubber cone. Yeah, man.
Shit's a bit pricey.
Yeah, like $2.90 for pig's ears. I mean, I may as well just grow the pigs. Not that you grow pigs, but you know what I mean.
That was as stupid as me saying
I am
kill the cow to get the meat.
Yeah, I am not good. And with me today on this episode 2.10, we have the J Man Jack Manuel. How are you, mate? How are you? You growing any livestock? You growing any livestock lately?
Fruitful doing so in a London flat, four floors above the ground. But, you know,
not sure you can keep cattle.
But, I'm sure that you know, maybe I could a flower somewhere. I don't even know if I could do that. It's probably one of the most inhabitable cities in the world to have any sort of livestock, pets, etc. But
that's fair.
We've spoken enough about dogs and how your girlfriend loves her pet more than you, Nicholas.
Yes,
let's speak about basketball.
Just before that, a good point on this. She was just like, she was a bit skeptical. It's like, oh, can you buy me? It's like, because we went out for lunch, and she's like, and I'm like, oh yeah, your shout. She was a bit skeptical, mind you. I spent $10 on lunch, yet she dropped $115 on her dog. Like, that is very depressing. Anyway,
that's your dog.
Exactly. Anyway, let's jump to the Busink Manuel scale. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a JBT scale created by us that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. From news to rumors to hot takes, we scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and just straight up fact. Mate, our first one today. Karl Anthony Towns will be out of Minnesota following the end of his rookie contract. This is news to me, but I assume this has gotten a bit of rumblings in your scope. So yeah. give me some reasons.
Now, I'm giving this a cheeky Twitter fact, Nick.
Ooh.
Now, it hasn't really gotten the credence and the, you know, the the widespread nature that most people like would be going crazy over this if that was the case. But you know, there's been many rumblings, and also the fact that to an extent I almost came up with this hot take myself, because there's been such, not necessarily controversy, but such like, you know, widespread criticism of Tibbs and, you know, his minutes, which we talked about on last week's pod as well, and which we also talked about on the NBA outlet. Go check that out. But I think that there is some validity, which is why I went with the Twitter fact, because I don't think that Karl Anthony Towns fits in the same mold as like a Jimmy Butler and a Tom Thibodeau. His best game for the season, hint, hint for JB Team of the Week. But I think there is a possibility, because he's coming out of that rookie scale contract very soon. I think next year, I believe.
Yeah,
and
this
if,
is his
if
third
they can't,
year, so,
you know,
yeah.
build a team around, yeah, I think they're still finding their identity, and I think they can't build the team around him, because for me, he is the guy. Kat is very young. Andrew Wiggins hasn't shown any development on life. Jimmy Butler, player, top 15, top 20 player, but. You know, you've got a franchise cornerstone that is young and you can build on for 10 years. And they're going to have to offer him. So there's just, for me, many rumblings that I'll give this a Twitter fact. But, you know, within could be offering a max contract and this could be thrown out the window. But I thought I'd throw in, as we like to say, a fire hot take, Nicholas.
Yeah, I mean, like this is, unless there's sort of, unrest in the T-Wolves camp, which there could be. I mean, they started the season really well. They're still fourth in the East, 17 and 13 at the moment. They're still flying. Kat needs to obviously, like, in terms of personal development, defense is obviously a big thing for him. It's a big thing for the team. But this is, I mean, you'd be crazy not to sign him. And whether he wants to sign again, that's another issue. But you're at least giving him the offer, because people will snap up Karl Anthony Towns in a heartbeat. I mean, he is a max player.
Definitely.
He's definitely a max player. Whether he's a max player on the T-Wolves, you know, I think like you're making a bit of rumblings around that. You know, it took them quite a while to sort of come to where they are now. And even now, I wouldn't say, obviously they're not at their peak, fourth in the West, the way that they're playing, that's more indicative of the way they're playing. Fourth in the East is very good, but the way that they're playing, nowhere near at their peak, considering the players that they have. But no, I'd give this a hashtag alternative fact. He's not going anywhere, because just T-Wolves would be crazy to let him go. It'd be crazy. Mate, do you have a segue for this one? Because I don't.
All right, I guess I'm on segue duty for the first one. We will score them at the end. So, Russell Westbrook, speaking of players with rumblings around them quite frequently, that wasn't too bad. Westbrook's comeback to Joel Embiid was, quote, go home. That was weak as hell. Nicholas, what do you think? Was this as weak as... Well, I don't know many people. A lot of people were praising him for being like a good comeback, but I'm like, go home. That was. It just reminded me of like The Simpsons. It was just a really, really weak.
Speaking of the, there's another segue for a soundbite. Love it. Speaking of The Simpsons.
Go home, science girl.
I am home.
Good. Stay there.
How good is that? It's juicy,
you
mate.
You are a magician, Nick. You're a magician. But yeah, what do you think? Was it a weak as hell, like, comeback?
Yeah, it's more like a schoolyard banter. It's like, oh yeah, you know, so did your mum. And then everyone going nuts, and it's just like, oh, shit. It's like, no,
it's
mate.
It's like that.
It's just like, you got absolute...
It's this... It's the super, you know, the super hot fire gif. Super hot fire. That's what it reminded me of. It was just that bad, but because it was Westbrook, it was good. But I do like the fact that super hot fire. but yeah, I thought like this is a straight up fact because it was weak. But also, Joel Embiid is known for sometimes having some pretty shitty comebacks. But he's always wonderful. But it was nice for him to get a little bit of his own medicine. I like the banter between the two and the fact that they're both waving at each other, like Joel Embiid waved to Stephen Adams after he was fouled out. For me, it was one of the games of the season. There were so many moments. From
3 OT, so that just sums it up. Sums it up there.
Yeah. I had to stay up. I was up to like 3:30 a.m. watching it. But yeah, this is a straight up fact. It was weak, but you know, the fact that we could somehow incorporate The Simpsons made it.
I think that was just. I think that was just the excuse. You know, it's just any excuse to incorporate some sort of soundbite. We're gonna take it. We're gonna take it.
Definitely.
That's it.
And you now have to incorporate your next segue with the next music, Manuel, Nicholas. Go.
Speaking about struggling Thunders, not that we were, because they actually won that game, but they struggled to beat the Sixers. That'll work. Yes. Speaking That's about the bad. Struggling Thunder, Carmelo Anthony would have fit better with Portland, mate. Yes. And we won't just open this up to Portland. Yeah. We can... You know, once you do your scale, you can throw it out to any other team that he would have fit better in. Give me something to feast on.
All right. Yeah, I will, mate. So what? What I've got for you, boy? What I'll let you feast your sultry ears on is the fact that this is a fact, Nick. This is a straight up sultry fact.
Damn. All right. So run me through it.
Feast your ears around. So, one, I think the Thunder would be better without Carmelo Anthony right now. Russell Westbrook struggles to incorporate his teammates, you know, one of them, let alone two of them. We saw the dynamic between him and KD for so many years. They obviously worked it out because they're both two historically great players. But I think right now, because it's Melo's play is taking away from the greatness and the talents of Paul George, and for me, he's been the best of their, you know, quote unquote big three, the OK three. Whereas you put him in Portland, I think he is able to play his game a little bit more. He's able to do his thing a little bit more. Dame and CJ are also ISO kings in a way. So you add in a third ISO guy, sort of fits that dynamic a little bit better. Plus, I think in terms of rotations, Portland really lacked any sort of depth. So having like a third Kahuna, I mean, you could throw in Nurkic to an extent in there as well. But I think, you know, Stephen Adams is as capable, if not more. So I think, you know, he fits the dynamic, the chemistry a little bit better in Portland, so which is why I give it a fact. You know, there were rumblings he would go to Houston. I think that would be, if we were saying Houston, I would say alternative fact, because we're looking at the way Houston are going right now, and there's no way you want to mess with that. Riding as well as any team in the NBA. So for Portland, straight up fact, Nicholas.
Yeah, I mean, one of my points for this as a strength was that Portland don't have a lot of strength in those forward positions. It's really just that backcourt. Nurkic, I should say, because he's great. I love Nurkic.
Aminu's been okay.
Sorry? Aminu.
He's been alright.
But, because Thunder don't have a lot of depth in those forward positions either. I thought Patrick Patterson would give more. I thought, you know, you've got the likes of Grant and Collison and Singler and just, like, who? Exactly. So it's not a matter of like depth. It's just, like you said, it's a matter of like style of play. But I think you add a third ISO guy. Damn, man. Like, Melo's ISO balls is not... Melo's ISO ball is not working. Because he's doing ISO plays in the Thunder. You would think that a player with his shooting ability would be able to shoot better when he's open, which I assume is what Westbrook should be giving him. He should be giving him open looks. He shot terribly on his homecoming to New York. He shot very badly. I think it was like 4 from 12. Less 2 from 12, 3 from 12, something like that. And it just got piled on the misery there. I honestly think he needs to change his game or, you know, ship out, because he's not working anywhere. He has to be, as in ship out to the bench, not ship out of the NBA. Because he can't compete with the get out. He can't compete with starters anymore. And he's not good enough at ISO, the likes of Lillard and McCollum, like you said. He's not as efficient anymore. So he needs to change his game, else he's going to become a fossil in this league, which is unfortunate because Carmelo Anthony is a great player.
Yeah, and we know the stubborn history, and he's a scoring machine. And just found the stat, Nicholas. 4 of 12. That's being nice. Yeah, it was 5 of 18 from the floor.
Oh, there you go.
Even worse. But now my turn for the segue, I guess.
Yeah, yep.
Now this was a team that was rumored to get Carmelo Anthony's services back in the day before he re-signed with the Knicks, the Chicago Bulls. That was a good one. I'm winning.
Nice. So, okay.
We'll give it one. One all.
Yeah, I think your segues are a little bit convoluted, mate. Like, just keep it simple. Like, speaking of bullish people, that kind of works.
That's okay. You get negative points for that.
I get deducted.
But yes, the Chicago Bulls, Nick. They've been winning games. They're ruining their rebuild with their winning. They've won 5 straight after their recent win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Nick, are they ruining the rebuild?
Mate, you can't deny that 1-2 punch. That 1-2 punch. Hello. Oh, man. Bobby Portis and Miritich are balling. They do real well. Miritich, since he's come back, has just been great. Which is kind of standard. We knew that Miritich would be like the focal point of this team. But are they ruining it? No. Not really. Again, like, you finish last, and it's not a guaranteed pick anyway. Besides, look at the Suns. Yeah, they're not. They're still going to be a lottery team. They're still going to be bad. They're still 8-20, Jack. They're on a 5-game winning streak, and they're 8-20.
I think they have the biggest win streak in the league. I think with the Cavs right now, which
it's
is
weird,
saying something.
Right? Like. What, they played today? No, they played.
Celtics
they played
the
yesterday, and they beat the Bucks. Yeah, which is, and I think Portis and Miritich both had 28 or 27, something like that.
Yeah,
they've been
really nice.
You know what's actually weird? Before we get onto this, Bobby Portis doesn't have a picture on the NBA app, which I thought was funny. He doesn't have a picture. He's just that stock standard shadow.
I feel like they're gonna. They'll probably have to get like a mugshot for him after he was like assaulted someone on the. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
But they're getting good use out of, obviously, Laurie Markkanen. He's been amazing all year, but Chris Dunn has had a few good games in those stretch. Justin Holiday, why now? You know,
it's odd.
It is odd, but they're not ruining their. This is an alternative fact. They're not ruining their tank chances. They've won 5 in a row. They will go on and lose the next 20. You know, it's like I have zero faith in the Chicago Bulls. Robin Lopez is just bad.
Yeah, they're due for a trade, whether it's Miritich, who will be is eligible January 15, or Rolo, or Portis to whoever. But I'm going to give this Twitter just because, you know, if you are going to go all in on a tank job, like maybe like the Mavs are doing, like the Hawks are doing, you know, you can't beat such good teams.
You never underestimate how good wins are for a team culture, though. Like, how good would they be feeling right now, 5 games in a row? It's just like, hey, we're not shit. Like, maybe, and it's good for the fans as well. If Hoiberg does not have streaks like this, he's gone. Like, it doesn't matter whether it doesn't matter whether he's rebuilding. Changes need to happen. Where if they show that they can have some sparks, like Chris Dunn's showing he can perform, Laurie Markkanen, obviously amazing, Justin Holiday playing well, Zach LaVine's still due to come back, or has he come back yet? I don't think he's come back yet.
January.
Like Portis and Miritich, it's promising. It keeps faith. Whereas if you are, like, I'm very surprised the 76ers are where they are Because a losing culture, no coach wants to instill a losing culture. Like, it doesn't matter. Which is why I'm surprised that that's you can be in the dark for so long and now, you know, they're coming up. Trust the process, trust the process.
It's been
their mantra forever. Anyway, it's my turn, is it? You know what? I'm going to use this opportunity, mate. Speaking of teams that need a break, we're going to a break.
You segued.
I segued to the break.
I'm scared. I need to get a drink of water. You're scaring me, Nick.
Mate, I said this last time, but it's swegception. Segways within segways. Not that that was. Anyway, we're going to a break. We'll be right back with some more Busick Manuel Scale.
If you're listening to JBT Podcast, make sure to give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. And Jack, speaking of back, we'll be talking. Well, hold on, we'll be talking about a team that may want to take back their first pick.
That's pretty good. All right, good.
I had some time to think about that one, so I think it's a bit unfair.
No, that's unfair.
It's unfair. All right, so via Sports Illustrated, this has come from them. If they could. And I want to hear your thoughts on this one, Jack. Would the 76ers use their previous number one pick on Donovan Mitchell instead of Markel Fultz? Thoughts? Prayers?
This came to me very early in the week, Nick, as we both like to scrounge Twitter for awesome NBA content, checking out OTG Basketball and the like. This one on via Sports Illustrated, it hit me because Donovan Mitchell is probably right now first, second in rookie of the year contention. He's been dominating rookie watch as well the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And he's on the up. And, you know, last night even against the Cavs, he was quite good. So, I mean, I'll back him in here. But I have to give it a Twitter fact just because there is just the... We can't judge this yet because we don't know what Markel Fultz is.
Yeah, exactly.
The comparisons that we've heard about him, you know, a James Harden light. He's able to create his own shot, which I think would work perfectly within the Sixers system. I think he could be a really good sort of six man, a la Harden with the Thunder, where he was just outstanding and he was, you know, all-star worthy in that role. So I think we need to temper our expectations a little bit. And, you know, earlier in the week, I think it was the NBA Twitter page posted the fact that Markel Fultz is making progress, though all we saw with him was in the gym. And like I retweeted, I'm like, well, why aren't we seeing videos of him shooting? That's what we all really want to see. We don't care about the fact that he can lift a barbell. So I mean, I'll give it a Twitter just because there's validity to it, because Mitchell has been so damn good. And the Jazz made a masterful trade in getting him pre-draft. But you know, we don't know what Markel Fultz could be. He could still be an absolutely otherworldly talent. So I will give this a Twitter fact just because, you know, alternative is too strong and straight up fact is way too strong the other way.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Like, the whole not knowing what Fultz is, and obviously, like, we're no experts on college ball. I've got no idea on Fultz, having played... Did he play NBA? He played Summer League.
I think he played a little bit
of NBA.
Not
having that whole picture there really skews this question. But what we've seen from Donovan Mitchell is a scorer. He is just through and through a brilliant athletic talent who just needs to work on efficiency. And he is... When you're saying that in your first year, the only thing you need to work on is your efficiency. You're in a good place. 18 points a game at the moment. Again, like, I'm not sure that Mitchell would have the same opportunities that he would have at 76ers compared to where he is now at the Jazz. I'm very happy where he is at the Jazz. He's leading that offense. You know, you can't really rely on a injury prone Gobert, who's gone down again with another MCL sprain. It's a light one, so he'll be back. But two injuries in the same year is never a good sign. But Donovan Mitchell is doing amazing work offensively for the Jazz. Yeah, like, love his stats. Like, it shows on paper and it shows on the eye test, which is, you know, exactly what you want. But yeah, it all depends on where Fultz will go. So I'm going to just give this one a alternative fact. Like, I think the alternative fact is not is fine. You said it was a bit strong.
Yeah.
Who, like, this guy was hyped up so much, Fultz, and we've seen what you know, we've seen what NBA talents do a year out of a year out of college in Philadelphia, because the two stars there are absolutely killing it. So maybe they injure him on purpose, mate. Maybe just someone goes in with a crowbar and just smacks him,
like Moat did with Mr. Burns.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you know, someone miseried him, like got the legs up on the the shoulders up against some board, yep, and just got a sledgehammer. Anyway, I'm way too Stephen King for this podcast. Jack, all right,
my turn for segue.
Yep.
I got a good one.
Speaking of the King, Stephen King.
That's not too bad. But I was going to just do something a bit simpler. Stop stealing my segues, Nick. speaking of a player that Fultz came up against last night, Cleveland,
mate,
the
that's
King.
Weak. That is
not weak.
That is piss
that
poor.
Is, you know, that is network television segue punnery. You know, you just got to be smooth. You got to be
mate,
simple.
I set you up there for Stephen King. It's like, speaking of Kings, you bitched out. You done goofed, mate.
I'll goof your mum. LeBron James, Nicholas. The rumor that was very, very strong early in the week was him heading to Houston in free agency. So I put to you, Nicholas, LeBron James' best destination in free agency isn't staying in Cleveland or the Lakers, rather a move to his banana boat buddy in Houston. What do you got for me?
It's tough if you're LeBron. Like, this is, like, the whole world wants his services. And, again, I feel like I've been listening to a lot of Colin Cowherd of late, and he is a very opinionated man. He has
He's
some
horrible.
Good.
Why would
he,
you...
he has some good moments, and he has some bad moments.
He has a lot of bad moments.
He has a unique view of the league. We'll just say that. I actually like a lot of his stuff. A lot of his stuff is worth discussing. But anyway, when you are, and this is pretty much quoting him. When you are as good at your job as LeBron is at basketball, you don't, you know, people want to play with you, you know? So, like, you don't, well, how do I explain this? Lakers and the Knicks don't deserve, and he said this, like, they don't deserve LeBron James, because when you are LeBron James, you are the best in your business, so you work for the best business. And the Lakers are not showing anything. The Knicks with Porzingis, I mean, that would be fascinating. But
it'd be fun.
The Knicks have been in shambles for the past four seasons. Maybe not four, three at least. So they don't deserve LeBron James. Houston, like, by God, in a way, they have shown that they are at least in contention with that top spot in the West, and even as the best team in the West. I think they deserve to be in that talking point. So yeah, I mean, whether it makes sense to join his banana boat buddy in Houston, I would say stay in Cleveland. That's my pick. So
that's fair.
Hashtag what am I giving this?
To be
alternative. No,
what are you giving it?
I'll think about it, mate. I've given my reasons. I've still got to see where it fits on the scale. But give me what you got.
All right. So you make good points, Nick, about the fact that LeBron is going to pick the best destination that suits his needs to get a championship. whether that's staying in Cleveland and building around, getting another pick, whatever it may be, whether that's going west to Houston or even a team like San Antonio, which has been in the rumblings as well, because they're a high quality organization. And under Popovich, I think that would be outstanding.
Hmm.
But I'm giving this a bit more credence than you. I'm going to give it a Twitter just because I think there's a strong possibility that he could go there. Not super strong, that's why it's Twitter and not Wiki or a fact. But I honestly believe, like LeBron, how he made that move to Miami, like he made that move to that move back to Cleveland, he hasn't made his mind up yet. He's not focused on that. And he always will make the best decision for him once the season is over and go, okay, these are my options. Where am I going to win a championship next? And he said that. He came out early in the week saying, I only want to win a championship. I don't give a shit about MVPs. And he shouldn't. Like, we know he's the best player of the past 20 years. And so by the end of the season, wherever suits him best, whether that's Houston, whether that's San Antonio, whether the Lakers somehow have a miraculous recovery and Lonzo wins Rookie of the Year, or whether that's staying in Cleveland, LeBron James will make the best decision for him. And who knows, we may be surprised and another team gets in the running. But yes, so I'm going to give it a cheeky Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, he's not only you know, basketball smart, but he's very conscious of where he is in sort of the grand scheme of the universe, I guess. But he will make the best career choice for him. But would it not be, just as a little follow-on on this, would it not be the best for him to stay out east? Because if he goes out west and tries to conquer the West, I can see why he would want to do that. Having never been there. But then he doesn't make conference final. He doesn't make NBA final after NBA final. He may get stopped at a conference final, or God forbid, before then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, Nick, but I think it was on an ESPN podcast this week where it's LeBron doesn't fear anyone. Like, he doesn't give a shit where he is. He knows he's the best. He knows that wherever he is, he is going to be in the best team because he makes them the best team. And that's just a straight up fact.
That is a straight up fact.
So yeah, I mean, we could chat about LeBron for hours on end, but it's your turn for a segue, Nick. So go, what do you got for me? Put me on the spot.
Speaking of, oh fuck. I don't know this one.
This isn't that hard. Speaking of players that may be from finals and are contenders for a championship.
Oh, nah, now see, you can say, mate, your segues are shit. Gordon,
you're talking about fucking Stephen King and
I set you up for that one, mate. Wait. Gordon Hayward, mate, speaking of people with rooted knees, will play NBA basketball again this season.
All right. This is hard.
This is a toss up, mate. This is a toss up between what you want and what you think will happen.
Yeah,
two very different things for me.
And so I'm going with my head rather than my heart, and I'm going to go with not alternative fact. Like, I want to almost go in between alternative and Twitter. So like a Vivo fact or like a.
Mate, we can't add a fifth. We can't add a fifth tier.
I know.
Already too hard to comprehend.
And people probably still don't understand it for that matter, exactly. Despite the fact. But yeah, I'm going to give it a Twitter fact because never say never. Like Gordon Hayward said himself, he said never say never. Everyone was saying, you know, 5-6 months after the injury in October was April. So, you know, by April, that's the end of the season and, you know, the start of the playoffs. So there is a possibility, but Gordon said in the Boston Globe interview that he had that he's not going to be out there unless he's 1,000%. And like, despite the fact that 100% is the most that one person can give, 1,000%, he's going to have to be way confident with it. Like, we saw Paul George do it, I think 2 years ago. He came back, he was serviceable, but he wasn't the Paul George we know and love. Derrick Rose was apparently cleared in February after he did that knee when he was in Chicago. He didn't come back because he was just not confident with his body. So I think, you know, those are two scenarios that you could look back to. But I'd love to see him back. But I also want what's best for him and what's best for Boston, because they're going to be there no matter what. And you know, you don't want to jeopardize the future of a franchise star like Hayward.
That's exactly right. I mean, there is no reason. There's no reason why Gordon Hayward should play this year. Are Boston getting past the Warriors? No. Are Boston getting past the Cavs?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. With Hayward, that, you know, that probability goes up high, but they're not getting past the Warriors.
Not high, though.
It goes up higher. My English, no good, my friend.
You fail English. That's impossible.
Exactly. Indicative of that is sort of the Celtics' last three games. I know it's a very, very small sample space. They had bad losses to a Gobert-less Jazz and the Bulls.
Yeah.
A team that is not coasting, and Celtics shouldn't be coasting. They shouldn't be where the Warriors are right now. They shouldn't. They're not coming back off two titles in the past 3 years. Celtics should be hungry. They have not, you know, they have not achieved well in the East by their standards, by a Celtic standards, for quite some time. They should be hungry. They should be destroying this season. Losses to the Bulls and the Jazz in those circumstances, they just reflect badly. So this is what moral of the story is: this isn't their year. This is not the Celtics' year. Next year is the Celtics' year. Do not rush Gordon Hayward back at all. Do not rush him back. No, even if he's fit to play playoffs, don't play him. What's the point? Like some reps? You're about to... Maybe it's a bit of a nihilistic and pessimistic view that maybe if he plays, they win some games. But you're going to be bringing him back for a select number of games in the season, and then going on season break, because you will lose. You will lose. And so you've just risked him for, you know, however many games, if it's the whole playoffs, for nothing. For absolutely nothing. Yeah. There's no point getting a snapshot on how you can perform with Hayward in the playoffs, because next season, with free agency, with the new drafts, with the new draft picks, everything can change in an off season, just leave him. Just leave him on the bench. Leave him in his crutches. You know, he's walking around, which is good. Post surgery, that's always good news. So there are signs of recovery, but just leave him. Leave him there. Hashtag alternative fact. That's what my head says.
All right, Nick.
Sorry, that's what my heart says. My head says he probably will come back. But
that's fair. That's another fair, Nick. Thing. But you made some very good points, but you now have to do a segue. So we have our third last Music Manuel scale points. Nick, we are all excited about the segue you're going to come up with. What do you got? We're waiting.
Yep.
We're waiting.
We are. Speaking of players who play in the NBA.
You knew the segue challenge. No more. We are never doing it again because you ruined
it. It's so hard
everyone.
On the
Having
fly.
Fun.
It's not natural, Jack. It's not natural.
Well, Nick. This is what we're about. We're coming up with stupid shit on the fly, and you're ruining the reputation of our already.
Are you denying that what I just? Are you denying that what I just said was not shitty? It was probably the shittiest thing I've ever said.
You've said some pretty shitty things.
Exactly. I mean, my point.
You said at the start of the podcast, "What did you say? You would grow your own pig's ears." So, you're going well, mate. You're going well.
Yeah.
But he is an NBA player, so I'll give you that.
Yeah, pig seeds. That's a thing. Anyway, Oladipo is a better player than Westbrook this season. Ooh.
Fact.
Ooh. God damn.
It's a fact, Nick. Like, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the starter said this week that they brought up the fact that, you know, Westbrook, does he deserve to be the All-Star this year? Hmm. Yeah, he does. It's not fait accompli, though. Like, I mean, he was an MVP last season, but he's been one of the most inefficient players in the NBA, despite, you know, getting triple-doubles here and there. But he's doing it on, like, numbers that are, like, mellow-like.
He's missed the most field goals in the league.
Yeah, and that says something. That's the proof's in the pudding. Whereas very quickly, Oladipo has improved every facet of his game. I think he's averaged something like 25, 5, and 5. And I think a steal and a block as well. I think he's one of the only players in the NBA to do that. So he is outstanding. And he's his shooting from the perimeter is elite. it's really, really fun to watch seeing a player such have such a huge breakout year at his age. You know, he's only like, he's 24 or 25. It's very unlikely to see that from players like him. But he's going to be an all-star this year. He's having a better season than Westbrook. Straight up fact. Congrats to Oladipo and congrats to Pacers fans. I said I'd get him in the podcast, and I did. I promise you, and I never let you guys
down. Pacers, yeah. I'm giving this a... It depends how you base it, man. Because if you're going this season, then hashtag fact.
That's what it said.
Hashtag
fact. Yeah, exactly. That's what
it
says.
He's a better player this season. Yes. Is Victor Oladipo an all-star? Yes. He's playing 25 points a game, effective field goal 55%, rounding up. That's all-star caliber. It's amazing. Like, he is doing it on the same minutes that he had last year. Like, he's averaging one more minute a game. Yet he's averaging 9 more points a game. He's taking 5 more shots a game. And his percentages, he's increased his 3-point shooting from 36 to 42. Best of his career.
He's killing it.
He's absolutely killing it. I'm loving it. Exactly. I mean, it's just props to the Pacers actually seeing what we saw when he, because he went quite high in the draft.
Number two, I think.
It says it on Basketball Reference somewhere, but I can't see it. It's a real great coming of age, I guess, because this is exactly what we expected from Oladipo when he was drafted. And it's good to see him making, you know, leaps and bounds like that. So, hashtag fact.
Love it.
All right, mate. Segway. Speaking of good players, here's a list of good players that we have put together.
That is... That's the best one you have redeemed yourself, Nicholas.
Is it good? I thought that was bad. Anyway, this is...
So bad it was good.
All right, I like it. This is JB Team of the Week. JB Team of the Week. For those who are new, this is where Jack and myself recognize the players that have been outstanding in their position. Each week, 5 players get chosen, and at the end, the players who feature the most at the end of the year will make JB Team of the Year, and the individual player that makes the most appearances will be JBT MVP. Mate, at the point guard this week... in the Celtics' win over the Nuggets, Kyrie Irving was a standout performer, posting 33 points. 9 from 1. Good job there, mate. 9 from 1 field goal percentage. He shot at 900%.
I'm the one that does the entire doc, so give me a break.
He shot at 900%. 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 rebound, and 2 blocks, which is a surprising for him. That was that little jewel of a game in the Celtics, in between the Celtics' 2 losses against the Jazz and the Bulls that I mentioned.
Sort
of redeemed himself there. Shooting guard, the man himself, the better than Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, had his career night against the Nuggets. Nuggets are getting pounded, mate. Posting 47 points. Oh, damn. Yeah, she does. 6 from 12 from 3. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. Just filling up that box score. And, further consolidating him for that all-star spot out east. So, good for him, mate. Take the front court!
Now, the front court, I think most people will not be surprised that LeBron James features here at the small forward position. Had a career high in assists, tying his career high. In the Cavs' win over the Hawks with 17 assists to go with 25 points, 11 of 13 from the field. Dear Lord, that is efficient. Almost as efficient as 9 of 1 from the field.
That's almost, rebounds, but not quite. Almost.
7 rebounds and 2 assists. He also had his 59th career triple-double against Lonzo and the Lakers. And then last night, he had his 60th career triple-double, jumping 2-6 on the all-time list above Larry Bird after posting one at home against Utah. So wow. LeBron James had three outstanding games that I couldn't pick between.
That is quite outstanding. He is amazing. he's very good. One of the best seasons of his career, year 15.
And he's 33. And speaking of, I do have an article out about his minutes that I mentioned would be out last week on the pod, so go check it out at otgbasketball.com or on Twitter at the JMNJBT. It's a real good one, real thoughtful analysis on whether LeBron needs to cut down his minutes, but he's still balling, so maybe not. At the power forward position, in a blockbuster at MSG, and I'm not talking about the Meagerang stuff, I'm talking about Madison Square Garden, Nicholas. The Porzingis god made his name known to Instagram model Jen Selter, and he shut the ball up, family, at the same time with a standout performance, posting 37 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocks, an assist, and a steal. I love what Porzingis did, and his thirst levels are rising, and he deserves to be thirsty here.
Question, mate, absolute. Question. What do you prefer, Porzingis god or Godzingis?
I like Porzingis god, but I don't mind Godzingis.
You know how Basketball Reference does all the nicknames. I saw Godzingis. I'm like, not bad.
All right, we'll make it a thing because Porzingis god seems to be the common reference. But all right, Godzingis made a name for himself. So yeah, the Godzingis god. Let's do double god.
He is twice the god.
Yeah, I don't want to get religious on a basketball podcast now. So I'll go to the center position. A man we mentioned in the Music Manuel scale. Karl Anthony Towns had his best game of the season on both ends of the floor, posting 30 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 blocks, steal in Minnesota's comfortable win over Sacramento. The only other Wolves player with at least 30, 10, and 5 assists and 5 blocks, none other than KG, Area 21 himself. So he's in the mentor to Karl Anthony Towns well. Real nice JB Team of the Week, Nicholas. We're going to get to our young fellas in the Rookie Watch.
Yeah, let's kick in with some Rookie Watch. For those of you who are new, this is where we rank the rookies based on their performances of the week, similar to JB Team. We award 1, 2, 3 votes. And at the end of the year, we'll tally to see who wins JBT Rookie of the Year. So, 1 vote to K. Kuzma. Exactly. Surprised he hasn't been on here more. He's been very impressive. In the Lakers, OT lost to the Knicks. Sorry?
He's still like a top... I'm pretty sure he's a top 5 in Rookie Watch.
I'd have to look at the standings, but I feel like I haven't announced his name much. Anyway, in the Lakers, OT lost to the Knicks. Kuz put up 19 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. Very, very nice there. 2 votes to Jason Tatum, had a very nice line in the Celtics win over the Grizzlies with 19 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Again, filling out that box score there. But, mate, who's getting the 3 votes this week?
I think there is no surprise, Nicholas. It is the likely rookie winner. I think it's fait accompli, and it's fait accompli he will probably win Rookie Watch at this stage. He's building himself an insurmountable lead. B. Simmons, the Altona boy, the Aussie boy. Also, there was an ESPN article out this week talking about Ben Simmons and how Aussie Rules Football, AFL, has helped him become the player that he is. So Aussie Rules is making its name over here in the US.
Which is really interesting because Marcus Bontempelli used to play basketball and a lot of his basketball skills have translated onto the footy field.
Same with Pendlebury.
Yeah, well. Pendles, yeah. Great AFL players. Translatable skills. So get around ball.
If you look to me, Nicholas, you look at me, and when I produced my best games for the Toon Squad back in the day, it was like a year ago, 2 years ago. There's certainly transferable skills when you look at athleticism and general. Yeah,
of course, your rebounding is amazing because you're just so used to playing that back position, taking the marks, taking the grabs. It's good. Love it.
So we are teaching for all our international fans about Aussie Rules Football. Check it out on YouTube, guys. Or if not, look me up. I might be around there. Chip in Jack Manuel, fullback of the year for 2015 in the WRFL.
Mate, all right. Self-plug. Self-shameless plug. You little bitch.
But a man who deserves much more praise is Ben Simmons. He continues his claim on Rookie of the Year honors, posting 27 points, 5 rebounds, and 10 assists in a narrow loss to the Pelicans. Nicholas, we're going to go to a break before off topic, or we're going to jump right into the pool.
We will take a quick break. So just on the other side, we've got off topic, as Jack said.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Head over on iTunes and give us a rating and review.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Very exciting time here, mate, because I get to push the button for the off-topic. I feel like we don't get to do the off-topic button. We don't get to do the off-topic
every couple of weeks.
Every couple of weeks.
We need to shut up. Yeah, we need to stop talking about basketball so we can start talking shit.
Exactly. Just start talking shit. All right, this is off-topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now, the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, this week's off topic, we are looking at all things movies.
Yay.
Something that is right up my alley. I love a good film.
Shout out to what? Empty Bottle Media?
Empty Bottle Media. God damn, that was that was a regrettable time in my life.
No, Nick,
they weren't
talking
good.
Down so much.
They weren't good.
They were good,
mate. The best part about it was Charlie's editing. Like, he is an absolute wizard. But, like,
and it's
I am just gross. I can't.
That's also the
mate. I can't speak.
I think that's also.
I think that's relevant.
I think that's also the best part of our podcast. Your editing. I mean, I'm going to give you some love there, Nicholas.
Fair enough. You know. Fair enough. But we are talking things 2017 movies, mate. So I want to hear your favourite movies for this year, because there's been some quality ones.
There have been some rippers. Amazing films out there, Nick. Yeah, there have been some great films out this year. So I'm sure everyone has jumped on the Star Wars bandwagon, but I haven't seen it yet. Nick has.
I
saw it the other night. He booked tickets while he was over here with me. Saw it with my broski and a few bros. So I'm going to be seeing it tomorrow night after work, so I'm excited for that. Not like as massive a Star Wars fan as you, mate, but still excited to see it.
I am pretty up there.
I remember when we saw, what did we see together? Oh, we saw Blade Runner together, and we both walked out of the cinema. Yeah, when they were doing the preview, because we both wanted to have fresh minds for it. And that's a good tip for all moviegoers out there that I learned from Chaz. I'm going to give you two tips that Charlie gave to me. One, do not sit too far back, and my girlfriend will hate this. Ali hates this, because every time I go to the cinema with her, I have to sit freaking far back. It pisses me off.
Yeah, I
do. Don't
sit
too far back. And I'll let you do the second tip. Don't sit too far back, because it's like watching TV. Like, there's no point in going to a cinema to just, like, have, like, a television view screen. Got to get pretty, not too close. You don't want to go in the first row. You want to go in, like, third or fourth row where you've
you don't want
like,
to be. You don't want to be craning your neck, and you don't want to be, like, twisting your head to see the movie.
Correct.
But you want to have a little bit of motion in your eyes, and because you want to have that full experience. You don't want to be sitting at the back, because you may as well be watching a video on your phone that's right up there with good sound.
Yep.
Like, it's just the second tip, though, and I do this one regularly all the time. Don't watch trailers. Never watch trailers.
Yeah,
ever.
It's good.
Trailers these days have got so many spoilers in them. Just don't do it. If you know a film's going to be good, then just... If you know you're going to watch the film, then don't watch a trailer. For example...
You haven't seen Avengers? Are you guys, is that what you're
going to
say?
No, I haven't. I have... I won't. I'm going to see the Avengers. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not a huge Marvel fan. Like, I love their movies, but I'm not... Like, I'm not a comic book nerd when it comes to that. I am a nerd about most things, except comic books. But yeah, like, I'm not as into it as a lot of people are, and I'm not going to be sitting there analyzing the trailer, because I'm not going to know all the neat little intricacies that I see. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch the trailer. There's no purpose, because I know I'm going to watch the film. The new Thor movie... came
that
out.
That was good.
I was going to watch the Thor movie because I'm going to watch the MCU movie.
I thought you saw it with Chaz.
Yeah, I did. I didn't see the preview. I meant.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
and it was good. That was
like speaking of you know movies this year, we can actually get into it. Thor Ragnarok was funny. Man, yeah, was it funny. And beyond that, that was it. Like, 73 Metascore is a lot higher than I would have given Thor. Because there's a lot of moments where I was just like, man, what was that?
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that fits into a Marvel film and the general trend of superhero movies. I mean, you're probably... This is one area where you've probably got a leg up on me to an extent because... you know the intricacies of film, you and Chaz, a bit more than I do. But I think that sort of crazy, weird sort of what the F, WTF moments that happen in a Marvel film sort of fit. Whereas, like, if that was, you see that in, like, Justice League, which I'm not sure. Have you seen Justice League yet?
No, not yet. No. I heard bad things and I was just like, not that interested.
Well, yeah, it had a 45 Metascore, and I saw it and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like amazing. I loved it because Jason Momoa is a horribly, horribly sexy man, and I would gawk at him. It's just the thing that didn't make sense for me is that I would prefer to have standalone films of like Flash. Like I love Ezra Miller or Aquaman, Wonder Woman, rebooting the Batman franchise, whether it's we talked about it, getting a new Batman in on a previous pod, or an Aquaman movie. So yeah, that's why I didn't like Justice League as much. But Dunkirk for me was one of the best films that came out this year. Nick Nolan,
yes, true. Oh man, I was having discussions with a mate of mine, and I hate like don't talk movies to me if you he literally said this like Dunkirk. He's like, it was 3 hours of loud noises. I may as well have been watching a Transformers movie. I'm like, I had to end the conversation. I could not deal. I was going to fucking scream at him.
The disrespect to Hans Zimmer is real. Right
and
there.
It was Hans,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it always is. I mean, and to Nolan, I could not believe it. You cannot like a film. That is fine. You cannot like Dunkirk, but you can't say that. It's just not true. It's just not true. And he has good taste. Like, he is usually pretty on point with his movies. He just completely missed the ball there, and he just infuriated me. And he knows how to push my buttons, the prick.
What are some of your other favorites this year, Nick?
Guardians was great. Logan was just... awesome.
Logan was great.
Star Wars, like I said, like Star Wars was very good. Like again,
do not say anything.
I'm not. Of all course, right. I see it through. I think I see it through rose colored glasses. A bit. I am a very hardcore Star Wars fan. So like, I can watch the prequels. I love the Star Wars universe that much.
Hayden Christensen.
Hate Hayden Christensen. the scripting was just god awful, but I will watch those movies, and I have watched those movies time and time again. It's a bit of a nostalgic feel as well. What I saw him as a kid, and I thought the whole flipping Jedi's thing, like watching Yoda do all those flips and thing, I thought was really cool. In hindsight, I was a fucking idiot, and that's fine. but yeah, I love the Star Wars. There are two scenes that are just amazing. The new Spider-Man that just came out. Lego Batman.
Yeah, that was great.
It's been a good year for movies.
Yeah, Disaster Artist.
Disaster Artist, right?
James Franco and Dave Franco. That's probably my second favorite movie this year. Like it does everything for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was just if you haven't seen The Room, you need to see it before you go see the Disaster Artist. Else,
oh hi Mark.
Yeah, hi Mark. You lose yourself in that film. It is so bizarre and so crazy. It's hard to actually think that this would happen in real life, but that's what makes it so much better because you know that all of this crap happened. It actually happened. Like people like Tommy Wiseau exist. Well, person. I'm not sure. No one is like Tommy Wiseau. He is... He's an amazing man. And I don't mean amazing as a compliment. Like, it's like how people use awesome, but don't really know the true meaning of awesome. He is an extremely awesome individual. And
he's an old fellow.
He's unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, James Franco does amazing in his performance. That is great. I actually had the spotlights. There are spotlights in this in the theater. I was laughing that much and just hysterical laughter. I had the spotlight shine on me, I assume, to say, hey, shut up.
like, that would be me.
It'd be exactly the same as like like a employee coming around with the flashlight. It just shone on me, and I was just like, okay, I'll be quiet. I was absolutely losing it. Oh, man.
I was the same, Nick. And I'm sure that if it was me and you together, it would have been even worse. We would have been kicked out because I could imagine seeing this film with you. It was one of my favorites. And, you know, James Franco, Dave Franco, Seth Rogen, it was just everything that was done. It was just a really nice movie, really happy, really touching. Just the world that James Franco created in like the space of 100 minutes was really cool. But my top movie of the year, Nicholas, I mean, I'll chuck in the two great horror movies of the year, It and Get Out. Get Out for me was awesome.
Yeah, don't do horrors. Don't do horrors. So I haven't seen It or Get Out. Only because I won't see him at theaters. I will not see a horror movie at a theater. The surround sound is too good. Like, the screen is too big, and it's just too scary.
You're a pansy.
I am. I will wear that badge.
It is basically it's like a Stranger Things movie. So like it's very enjoyable. But Get Out for me is a bit better. But my favorite movie this year was Baby Driver. It was so good.
Again, like, another one I haven't seen.
Soundtrack. You haven't seen Baby Driver?
Yeah, it's an Edgar Wright film as well. I really like Scott Pilgrim, and I love Edgar Wright's just his filmmaking. So I feel like I'll love Baby Driver, but I haven't seen it. It's like Guy Ritchie. His sort of filmmaking I love. Like Man from U.N.C.L.E. wasn't esteemed, but I loved it. I loved Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I enjoyed those sort of style of movies. Those directors are very much up my alley. Mm. A movie we saw together, Blade Runner. I respected the filmmaking, and Denis Villeneuve is one of the best directors,
of course,
going around right now. Sicario is a masterpiece. There was just something about it. Like, and I love Ryan Gosling. Babies, if it was physically possible. and Harrison Ford, the same.
Yeah, I mean, they incorporated his role very well.
Very well, yeah.
Like, the movie itself was just a brilliant... It was a brilliant expression. And I might sound like a hipster douchebag, but it was a great film technically. Visually, it was amazing. The relationship between a seeming... Like, for those of you who have seen it, between Ryan Gosling and... his partner, I guess you call it, who was a artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It was essentially just a hologram.
She was.
but like the intimacy and the relationship was so real, so strong. Jared Leto, I think, was pretty good as well. A lot of people were kind of crapping on his performance, but I think he did fine. Overall, I wouldn't give the sort of accolades that it has been giving. I wouldn't say that it's the best movie this year. I can see why people do think it's the best movie this year. It's just not my pace. It's not my style.
I think we have very similar taste in movies. Like, because I remember speaking to Chaz about it and how much he loved it, and he raved about it on Instagram and shit. But it was just a bit slow for me. I just didn't enjoy it as much. Like, if I also compare it to sort of like another film noir sort of movie, to me, I enjoyed Drive more. Like, I fucking love Drive. Like, that is one of Ryan Gosling's best movies and best ever performances. And I think I've actually downloaded it for the plane ride home to Australia because I want to rewatch it. But
it's very similar to the first one. It's very similar to the first one, which is why, like, I think a lot of people like. People who loved the first Blade Runner, gonna love the second one. I didn't like the first one either. We came out of the theater and we were just like, we were saying the same things. It's like, oh yeah, this. And even when we came out of Last Flag Flying what was the other one?
The one with the shitty female actress.
Yeah.
The worst thing.
But we both said the same things about it. Like, we've a very similar taste in movies, which is good. Which is great.
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz is back as well. But yes, shout out before we move on to our outro. Shout out to Kingsman. Kingsman was pretty fun. Not as good as the original. The original for me was awesome. But it was got a great cast and it was very popular over here in London, as you would expect.
Exactly. All right. That does it for the movie. So, just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And remember to rate and review the show. It helps us out heaps, and we appreciate the ratings as well. You can contact us at the JManJBT or at the JB... Sorry. It's been a while since I've done this outro. You can contact us at the JManJBT or JBTNick. Is myself on Twitter, and you should also hit up at OTG Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by the man himself, Jack, and heaps of other fire content. We're on Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us there. You can hit us up on email and we'll read the emails here on the show when we get them. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. We'll make a section just for you guys. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great, and we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.